And now, you're tuned into RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello and welcome to the RBLR Rage Show. It's nice of you to join us in what is officially the funeral show for the 2025 Tampa Bay Rays. Rest in peace, the 2025 Tampa Bay Rays. Hopefully we will never think about you ever again. I am Pat Davenport, your host all throughout what has been a underwhelming season. And I am joined by the incomparable, a guy that we will want to stick around and a guy that we will be looking forward to seeing more of as the years go on. It's Carter Brantley. Carter, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. it's the end of baseball, the regular baseball season and the Rays season, which is a bummer. And the Bucks lost today. Big bummer, too. Kind of a tough day sports-wise, especially for the Tampa Bay fans tuning in. But, excited to shut this book, to close it and put it on the bookshelf and let it collect dust for a while. Not looking forward to, looking back on this season in any way other than just glad it's over. Let's get into it, man. I'm excited to talk about it at least with Pat Davenport.
Thank you. We will talk about the 2025 Rays, and I'm sure we've got lots to talk about, lots to say, because this is the time. This is the time to get it all off our chest. This is when the feelings are going to be raw. This is when, we're coming off the back of it's not finished yet, but what will be a pretty one-sided loss to the Blue Jays, which will cap a sweep to end the season and will result in an L4 to end the season as well. For those of you that have been tuning in all season long, I do want to say a huge thank you to all of you that stuck around during what has been a tough to follow season for the Rays. And we really appreciate you. And I hope we have given you some kind of solace in these dark times. And if we have helped you out get through this Rays season and you've enjoyed the content that we put out, please do us a favor to close out the season by dropping us a like, subscribing to the channel if you haven't already. And most importantly, I think today, go over to the YouTube feed of the live feed if you're tuning in live and drop some comments, drop questions, your thoughts, your hot takes. Get them all in here because this is the time where we're going to be talking about them and we can have a group therapy session. Get it all out there because if you come to the live feeds and watch on YouTube, you can drop a comment or question that we can respond to live. If you're new here, welcome. I'm glad that you're here. What a time to join. And come have a listen, and then maybe at the end, if you enjoyed what you heard, you can drop us a like or a subscribe. So let's get into it then. Let's talk about the season that was the 2025 Tampa Bay Rays. Assuming that we do not make a comeback in the ninth inning, despite being down 13-4, the Rays are going to finish 77-85, which is their worst finish in essentially a decade. I don't think they're going to finish last. I think they've just managed to avoid last place in the AL.
Yeah,
but a very safe fourth place finish. And what in a year that feels like everything that could have went wrong, apart from Junior Caminero, went wrong. It's at the point where I've been trying to think what has went wrong for the 2025 Rays. Was there one thing that we could point to? Is there like one factor, one decision that we could point to? But I don't know if there is. Is there one thing that you would like to kind of start with why the Rays have disappointed so much?
It's hard to pin this on the Rays or anything like that, but And it's not like one thing because it's a group. It's the outfield. The outfield, probably not the worst group in baseball because the Rockies and the White Sox exist. But like among teams that were supposed to be competitive this year, I think it's fair to say that it was one of the worst groups in that field. Johnny DeLuca being hurt pretty much all year doesn't help, of course. But Yeah, it's tough. It's tough, man. It's tough to have your two corner spots just constantly be occupied by below average at best hitters who are also like just kind of meh defensively, you know, because Jake Mangum also had to play a lot of center this year, and like he's fine defensively, but good gracious, like he just swings at everything and, you know, just kind of the like a super duper Walmart brand, like great value Ichiro, like just like as yeah, if Ichiro was like actually like a bad baseball player, like if Ichiro was
he's more like if Luis Arraez was a center fielder.
Right. Yeah. Which, yeah. And that might even be giving Mangum too much credit, but, yeah, it's tough to run a guy like Mangum out there in center for almost all year. Also, Simpson was pretty rough and left, and Josh Lowe had his hot start, but then he really cratered. So yeah, the outfield was probably the biggest, like, it wasn't the only reason and it wasn't the reason that the Rays were bad this year, but it's probably the best example of like the Rays' ineptitude this past year for sure.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at people that played outfield for the Rays, Mangum had a 95 WRC plus.
Morel, and even that might be overselling his offensive contributions. Like,
Morel 89, Simpson 87, Caballero played a fair few outfield games as well. This year, 84 WRC plus. Cameron Meisner, 70 WRC plus. Everson Pereira has played a good few games as well, 29 WRC plus.
Right.
Like, not a single league average hitter there.
Yeah, and it's basically just like if you took the Durham Bulls outfield and just threw it into the majors. Like, that could genuinely be the AAA team, you know, and that's not like a knock on those guys. It's not like trying to be mean. It's just that's just real. That's reality. None of those guys should be starting in Major League Baseball games. Like maybe Josh Lowe, but you know, I have hopes that Josh Lowe can turn around, but the rest of those guys, probably shouldn't have been playing in the majors. And if injuries hadn't been the case with Johnny DeLuca, then maybe they wouldn't have been. But even if Johnny DeLuca is healthy, like the left field spot is still like a gaping black hole of offense. Like it's still like, you're still not getting offensive production. You sure as heck aren't getting defensive production from any of those guys. Yeah, just a huge disappointment all the way around for that group. And again, I'm not like saying that the Rays did anything wrong or anything. Like, it's not, but that's the reality. That's what happened. Like, that's
you could argue the thing they did wrong, and you know, hindsight is 2020. But like, Luke Rayleigh and Randy Arozarena both had good years this year.
Yeah, Randy looked awesome. Yeah, Randy looked great. And it's tough because, like, you know, I don't want to push back on that at all because, like, yeah, Randy Arozarena in left field would have been awesome this year. Like, and a fan favorite, like a real slam dunk, like, yes, kind of thing. But at the same time, like, hey, at least they didn't, like, whiff on the trade. Like, a lot of the guys they got back for him look really promising. It's not quite the Isak Paredes deal where, like, Christopher Morel, I don't know what the Rays are going to do with him. And they're kind of counting on Ty Johnson, like a pitcher in the minors to kind of recoup some value in that deal. Because otherwise, man, the Cubs really kind of, I don't want to say they pulled one over, but the Rays definitely didn't win that one so far. But there's still time. Like, you know, it takes time to evaluate these trades, but not off to the best start. And it's pretty much because Morel has not gotten the playing time or has not played well in the playing time he's been given, you know, chicken or the egg sort of situation. Like, I don't really care what the problem is. Like, he's not producing. He didn't play well this year. Like, he's basically a negative value player in my mind. So, you know, at least he's friends with Caminero. You know, maybe if Morel's not there, maybe Caminero doesn't hit 40 plus bombs. So I don't know.
Yeah. Every place has a vibes hire. Every place has a vibes hire. And if you don't know who that is in your workplace, it's you. Congratulations. and listen, we all need a vibes hire. We all need
a personality hire. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think a stat for me that I think could be used to summarize the Rays 2025 is Tristan Gray has accumulated more WAR this season than Ha-Seong Kim for the Rays.
Oh, yeah. That's tough.
Tristan Gray, 0.2 F-WAR, which eclipses Ha-Seong Kim's 0.1. When you're looking at your record free agent signing for a position player as a franchise, leaves the team after accruing 0.1 FWAR. Mm-hmm. And I haven't double checked this, but I think he's already put up more than that with the Braves. I think for like the past two off seasons, every move the Rays front office has tried is whiffed. And maybe this is just like a bit of returning to the grain, you know, and like the swings and roundabouts where like when you hit so often, maybe you're due.
Regression to the mean. Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for. Regression to the mean. And just so you know, I'm just seeing confirmed that the Blue Jays are AL East champions now, and it is a 13-4 final. Maybe it's a bit of regression to the mean, but it feels like the Rays took a few unraisy moves this year with people like Danny Jansen spending big money on a guy that they knew was already hurt coming into the season in Ha-Sung Kim. I mean, obviously, we didn't expect him to be out for as long as he ended up being at the start of the season. Like that rehab felt a lot slower than what was originally kind of projected. We were originally told kind of end of April he'd be back, and then it ended up being end of May, and then it ended up being like July by the time he turned up. So that that's not necessarily the Rays' fault, but it was a whiff. And then Danny Jansen, they were like, why don't we try a bat first catcher? But then he was a below average hitter and really couldn't field the position. Which feels very unraised like. So they deviated from their usual plans here. And do you wonder, do you reckon they did that because of some kind of fan pressure from the 2024 season with how bad like Alex Jackson was offensively anyway? And they felt like pressure to find some offense in that position? Because usually they don't care about offense from the catcher position. Mm-hmm. This is a team that ran Jose Molina out there.
It was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they did, shame on them. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to be like a jerk or whatever, but like having like responding with your moves to what like the, like if you're a professional anything and you're responding to people who like, if you're responding to me and Pat, like all due respect, Pat, like if the Rays are responding to what we have to say, then they need to reevaluate some things, you know, like if they're right. If they're relying on fans to drive their decision-making, then we're lost, you know, like they've lost the plot, so to speak. And that's a frustrating one because Danny Jansen was not a good framer coming into this season. It's not like this was some like miraculous drop off where like Jansen was even an average framer before this year. Like, no, he was bad defensively. And like, when that signing happened, I was kind of hopeful that maybe the Rays had some secret sauce they were cooking up, like Brewer style, like where the Brewers would bring in like all these awful defensive catchers and somehow turn them into like average to above average defensive catchers. Nope, that didn't happen. It's frustrating because the year before, like Ben Rortvedt was their starting catcher alongside Alex Jackson after Rene Pinto was supposed to be like the guy. And I don't know if it's off the field stuff. I don't know if there's behind the scenes stuff that went on, but regardless, the catching position has just been like it's like that SpongeBob meme where he's like walking through the like weird hallway. It's like that's the worst position for the past two seasons, and it's been really frustrating to watch as a fan because we went from Mike Zunino, oh my goodness, like he's not even like an all-time great catcher or anything, but like good gracious for the Rays he was, you know. So it's just it's been a pretty sharp drop off in terms of, I don't want to call it like a trend or anything, but definitely not super fun past couple of years with the catching position. And like I said, if it's truly decision making that's driven by the fans, then I don't know what they're thinking, because the ABS system is coming it's coming next season, or the challenge system rather. But that doesn't devalue framing that much. Like, it's still going to be there. And more importantly, it wasn't there this year. You know, like it's not like they signed Danny Jansen to a 1-year deal with an option. And like, when are the Rays going to pick up an option? You know, like that just doesn't really happen. Like, they picked up Brandon Lau's option, and that was like big news because everyone was like, oh, he's way too expensive. So sorry, long soliloquy short. If they did do that because of fan outrage or whatnot, because of Alex Jackson last season, then that's silly.
it's like, for example, if they listen to me, Luis Robert Junior.
Rookie yeah, junior. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. He was rubbish this year. He was awful. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was calling for him all year. So, like, mm-hmm. don't listen to me. Please don't listen to me. Eric,
right.
please don't listen to me. I know you wouldn't. But if you are, I'm sure you are a fan of the RBLR show. But, I just don't know why they deviated so much from their usual strategy with catches. It looks like they're starting to pivot back. Nick Fortes feels like a Rays catcher to me.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm fine with Nick Fortes. I'm completely fine with him.
Right.
Fiducia, yeah. I'm not convinced yet, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But I guess the one thing you can say is, like, the guys that they expected in the lineup to go out there and do the thing did go out there and do the thing.
Absolutely.
Lau, Yandy, Junior, Aranda all showed up to play and had great years. Mm-hmm. And Brandon Lau, you know, we had our concerns as well. We were like, is he overstaying his welcome? But no, he still had a really great year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I truly think if Aranda had stayed healthy, I think that not only do the Rays at least like get to 500, I know that's dramatic because it's just one player, like, but I think Aranda staying healthy would have shaped a lot of their moves and a lot of their sort of attitudes towards playing time, because they had Bob Seymour getting playing time. Like, I know he's got a cult following here in Tampa, but my goodness, like him, Everson Pereira, Tristan Gray, like these guys are not major league caliber players, and they were getting massive playing time toward the end of the season because it was all lost. You know, like the team had played awful in July. And they played awful in August. So what were they supposed to do? Like, they're not going to force, you know, they're not going to force guys through the system. They're not going to make aggressive moves. They're going to, you know, they're going to give some random guys some shots just to see if they have anything for 2025. And I don't blame them. But, it's tough because the Aranda injury and obviously we mentioned the DeLuca injury definitely, it forced the Rays into some tough spots. But this is where the Rays are right now with, like, when you run a $70+ million payroll, like, yeah, Jonathan Aranda and Johnny DeLuca getting hurt can make or break your season. Like, that shouldn't happen for a regular baseball team, but for the Rays, yeah, it's going to do that. Like, when you have these like narrow margins of victory because you're working just within the constraints that they have, that's what's going to happen. And it's disappointing, but it's going to happen. And yeah, so it's tough to see, but we'll see if they can figure it out moving forward. Cause it was tough to watch this year.
Yeah, it feels like the lineup. We had a 98 WRC plus on the year as a team,
right?
So you could argue that we're on the cusp of being league average, which with a good pitching staff is all you need, right? Like, if you can play league average with your bats, good pitching staff, that's what the Rays have always like kind of rode to 90 wins. I mean, in 2011, we had a really bad offense, in fact.
Right,
but
yeah.
Like, we had a good enough pitching staff to make it work. The problem is the pitching staff was good, but it wasn't great, which I think is something that I think under-delivered on preseason expectations, like just because of how bullish we were on the bullpen and how much we expected Pepio, Bars, and Bradley to develop. And Pepio was still like a big workhorse innings eater type, but Bars and Bradley took step backs, if anything.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, the pitching staff being above average, I think we could say. That unfortunately just wasn't enough this year, you know, and if the Rays had been average offensively, then maybe they push a little bit closer to 500. I don't know. But it's just tough to continue. That was another thing. Like, they continue to just run out Taj Bradley like over and over and over again. And I get that there's talent there. I get that maybe there's some upside that we're not seeing or whatnot. But like, when a guy shows you who he is, like, sometimes you just got to believe him. Right. Like, it's kind of tough to just keep hammering your head against the wall. And I don't know. It feels very silly to say this, and this isn't what happened, obviously, but it was almost as if they were just waiting until his bobblehead day, and then they were like, oh, okay, yeah, let's send him down. It's just like, yeah, I don't know. It was
it's very true to Ray's form.
Oh,
Like, I love the Rays, but they do have a habit of that. Of like, right, the promo's coming up, now we move in. The marketing team must hate the front office. but like, yeah, Bradley got run out there a lot. And there's a few bullpen arms where you were like, wow, we're still running. You know, Kevin Kelly, a team that's usually really ruthless with their kind of bullpen churn.
Yeah.
They gave lots of guys a longer leash than they normally would this year.
Absolutely.
Like Kelly, and like even people like Jesse Schultens. He got quite a few innings this year as well. And it's just like, why are we running these guys out? Why are we not being more ruthless? Why are we not? Like, you know, okay, you didn't work, let's churn.
Yeah, and that is where, like, I love a lot of the Rays way, like the Rays philosophy, and I'm not saying it's not a successful philosophy, but the pitching churn can feel a bit inhumane sometimes, if you will. And that the Rays are not the only team that does this. This is a Major League Baseball thing that I am commenting on, but it can feel kind of like, all right, like we're just like sending guys up and down and up and down and up and down. Like, can we like relax a little bit? It's that can be kind of tough, but you know, it's what professional baseball teams do. And yeah, it's tough with Kelly, man. Like, I felt for him because like he was bad like this year, but at the same time, like, man, he was really good in years past. And so yeah. I get trying to give him, you know, another shot, like trying to let him figure it out. But yeah, it was tough. It was tough to watch him go out there and struggle so much because he was getting hit hard a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I want to emphasize with the pitching staff that I do expect them to bounce back quite a bit next year because, man, pitching at George Steinbrenner Field, like I can't imagine. Like that was a weird situation, you know. And again, not the Rays' fault, you know. Not the, you know, it's freaking hurricane. Like who could have called that? It's tough. So that I would fully expect the pitching staff to rebound next year because they'll hopefully, fingers crossed, be in a more stable environment in terms of the stadium and also like the wind. I mean, my goodness, like just a bunch of like sneezes over to right field that went over. So it's just, yeah, it was a tough start. And yeah, the pitching staff couldn't ever quite seem to get it figured out. It was almost the Coors effect. I don't want to quite put it in the Coors Field stratosphere, but man, it was a tough pitch. It was a tough park to pitch in for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, going back to that, the churn, like Colin Poche had a 3.86 ERA and everyone was calling for his head. They were like, this guy needs to get out of here, dude. He reeks. And the Rays non-tendered him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he was really bad this year. Yeah. But like they're known to be like, no, we need to get the heck out of there. Mm-hmm. And then now, you know, Kevin Kelly, they were like, yeah, this guy's getting hit all over the shop. But we're gonna keep running him out there. It's just everything felt a little off this year. And it just felt like, I don't know, the Rays were just very un-Raysy. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And even, I mean, like even getting back to the hitting side of things, like they were like kind of chasing a lot this year. Like I think they were bottom five or something in chase percentage. So that was really brutal. And then like they weren't hitting the ball very hard either. So it's like, you know, you've got crappy plate discipline. You've got crappy quality of contact. You're also whiffing quite a bit because they were bottom 10 in contact percentage. So, yeah, it's not like they were – like they earned this record. Like there was not a whole lot of unluckiness in terms of on-field performance. Like this is who that team was this season. And hitting wise for sure. And pitching wise, I'm hopeful that they can try to maybe right the ship a little bit next season because they've got a lot of moves that they can make. You know, I know Adrian Houser is kind of an interesting name in terms of like an extension or bringing him back and whatnot, cause he's going to be a free agent. We'll see how, it all shakes out because they've got a lot of options, luckily, in terms of, trying things out with Joe Boyle and whatnot in the starting rotation. But are those good options? You know, we'll see.
Well, it's funny you should bring that up. Luke has left a comment, actually, and we should bring that up. The pitching still has many, many issues. Offense is a 700-run offensive season when healthy, but the pitching, I have many questions from philosophy to talent. I mean, philosophy, I think, is a hard thing to pin down, I think.
Yeah.
Because I think – I don't know if the Rays have a philosophy beyond hammer the zone.
Right.
Like, don't just throw it down the middle and let your stuff do the rest is kind of the philosophy. But in terms of like after that, I think it's kind of pitcher to pitcher, right? I don't think they run like, you know, when the Pirates were really famous for everyone throws sinkers and
right. You seem, yeah. But
I don't think they have like that kind of thing going on. I don't think the Rays kind of limit themselves in that way, but
sure.
Apart from hammering the zone, and unless you think the idea of hammering the zone is a broken philosophy, which, you know, you could point to, well, yeah, the Rays had a really low walk rate this season as a team, which they did. I think they were like third lowest in the majors, but they, you know, they gave up a whole load of home runs this year. It's just like whether or not how much of that is, you know, throwing stuff in the zone more and how much of that was Steinbrenner, you know, you gotta wait and see about that. I think the talent, I think you're banking on a lot of guys to get better that didn't. And I think, you know, I think in the back end of the season, we were missing a Zach Littell. To be fair, I think Adrian Hauser got there by the end of the season.
Yeah,
I think he got off to a rough start, but he got there. But yeah, you're just missing a real veteran presence, I think, at times. Hopefully McClanahan can be that next year, but then like he's going to be on such a tough innings limit, right?
Yeah, and it's tough to even, like, I hate to say it, but I'm not like anticipating Shane McClanahan pitching for the Rays next season, just because, like, you know, I don't know. It's harsh to say that, and I hope I'm wrong, obviously, but it's one of those things. I don't know if you count on Shane McClanahan being part of the Rays plans in 2026. I don't know. It's really weird. Like I think they led Major League Baseball in like meatball percentage, like just throwing like pitches down the middle or whatever, but they were also top five in I think chase percentage or whiff percentage, one of those good ones. Like they were top five in one of the good ones. So yeah, it's very much that philosophy. So that, I don't think that's changed at all. And yeah, it's fine. Like it's the whole idea of just like letting your stuff play, like just kind of throwing it down the middle, and they pick up guys that have, you know, outlier stuff traits, whether it's like, you know, weird arm angle, or if it, you know, Kevin Kelly's got the weird arm angle and Uceda's got the filthy changeup. And so I don't know. I'm not really too concerned about their philosophy or switching that up. But yeah, I mean, it was just tough to play in George Steinbrenner Field. I think that made the talent seem a lot worse than it actually was at times. And like I said, you know, running out Taj Bradley as much as they did was a bit head scratcher. But, you know, at the same time, like they were banking on him being a lot better, and I can't necessarily blame them for trying to give him as many chances as possible, but at a certain point, like I said, you gotta believe a guy when he shows you who he is. And they were trying their hardest to stick him around. And I like that, because Taj Bradley seems like a nice guy and he seems like a good dude. And I like Taj Bradley a lot, but man, I don't know that he's a major league starting pitcher at this point.
Yeah. I think we're going to move on to the kind of, background noise that have kind of been around the Rays this year in terms of ownership, I think, in a minute. But before we do that, I just want to pick up on the comment that you said, this team is what their record says they are. Mm-hmm. Some people would point to something a bit of an anomaly, which is that the Rays were very much below 500, like nowhere near the playoffs. But then if you look at their run differential, they, like, everyone around them is firm in the negatives. Today's results skewed it a bit closer to the negative, right, after getting hammered for 9 runs, but they have a pretty, they were a close to wild card position teams in terms of run differential.
Right.
Do you care? Do you think that means that the Rays were unlucky in any kind of way?
Or I don't know. I don't think so. I'm not a big run differential or Pythag record, whatever the blah blah, you know, whatever the new nonsense is in terms of that. It's the same as like the playoff odds. Like, I don't really pay attention to that either, because like I don't know. I get why they're created, because they're fun things to talk about, like they're fun little content pieces or whatever. But in terms of actually telling you something informative, I don't know that there's much there, because like you're telling me, like, especially when it gets into the position player pitching conundrum this year, or not just this season, but that's spread across Major League Baseball. Like, tell me that Jose Caballero gives up a bunch of runs to the Orioles, and you know, that's going to boost their, or that's going to bring down their run differential. I don't know. There's a lot of silliness and a lot of noise, I think, around those things. And I try not to worry about it too much in terms of like, oh, did the Rays get unlucky this year? Like, I don't think so. Like, I definitely am a very big, like, you are who your record says you are, because like, what good does it do you to try to look back and try to say, oh, well, you know, they got unlucky this year, maybe they'll be better next year. Like, there's so many changes. There's so many, like, there's never going to, you know, especially for the Rays, like, their roster is never going to be the same. So like, even if you're looking back on this past season and thinking, oh, they got a little unlucky, well, the roster's probably going to be pretty different next year anyways. So like, that doesn't really matter almost. I don't really buy into that too much, but I'd love to hear, maybe you feel differently. Maybe you're a big run differential guy. I didn't mean to insult anyone that is.
No, I am absolutely not a big run differential guy. I've been very anti, especially like once you get into, you start trying to translate that into X wins losses. No, I really right. don't subscribe to that theory, just for like the reasons you said. Because you pile it on against a guy doesn't mean that you are owed a win somewhere else. Like, I don't believe in that at all. I guess if I had to, like, cause like the X win losses have the Rays at 85 and 77. So they have them eight wins better. But guess what? They weren't. I guess if you were to look at anything in terms of like luck factor, the only things I would look at in terms of like luck factor in games is like their record in Manfred Ball extra innings, right? Because sure. those are kind of coin flip games.
Right. Absolutely.
They were 5-7, so close to 50-50, right? Yeah. So I would point to bad or good luck there. Maybe you could look at how they were in one run games as well. And they were 22 and 29, so they were pretty bad in one run games. They had quite all things considered. And I would also say that they had, maybe you could point to this as like a symptom of luck, is they had a lot of one run games. Yeah. So like they were in a lot of games but didn't get a lot of them.
Right. And I think the tough part about that is that yeah, if you're playing in a lot of one-run games, then like that's, I don't want to say like, oh, that's the team's fault, but like, you know, play better. You know what I mean? Like, don't let it be a one-run game. It's tough though. Like that's, you know, that's very anti-Ray style or whatever, because they're very much like pitching defense first. I don't know. It's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to try to look back on a season and try to nitpick and try to find like extra wins or whatever, because it's just such a long season that like, you can drive yourself crazy doing that. It's not really worth anyone's time.
Yeah. I mean, Devil's Advocate is one of the few teams that played more one run games than the Rays this year with the Mariners. And they were really good in one run games.
Right.
This year.
Yeah.
They were like 31 and 22 and they've won the ALS.
Sure.
So like, could you say that's good luck? Could you just say that's beating, having that dog in you, that clutch gene. I think it's impossible to kind of cast a narrative.
Yeah. And if the Rays were closer to 500, I think I would be more willing to like say, oh, well, you know, like they weren't that bad. Like they were, you know, like they were only a few games away from, you know, like you a few breaks here and there with the one run. But the Rays were pretty below, like, you know, like they were pretty below 500. Like they weren't a good team this year. So like, let's say they were 500 in those one run games or close to it, then like they still don't make the playoffs. You know, maybe they're a 500 team or whatever, but like that doesn't make a big enough difference for me to really blame it on that. Because yeah, like you said, it's hard to predict those one run games. So it's just kind of a 50-50 thing. But even if you just created it in like, you know, manipulated it into being a 50-50 thing, the Rays are still not a playoff team. So, you know, it's just, it is what it is. It is what it is.
It is what it is. Our producer also wanted to bring up defense. And we'll do that very quickly. I mean, would it be unfair to say that this may be the worst defensive group that the Rays have run out since Cash took over.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely not totally out of this world. And what's tough is that they always, you always preach like strength up the middle, like the most important defensive positions, catcher, shortstop, and center, right? And and at center and short, like Jake Mangum and Walls were there a lot of the time. They were fine. Like Caballero was fine, you know, or Walls was superlative. I don't mean to, as much as, you know, yeah, but you know, it's Walls, whatever. But Jansen behind the dish was horrible. Like it almost is like Walls and Jansen sort of canceled each other out because like Jansen right. was so bad and Walls was really good, but man, it doesn't really matter if your catcher is that bad. So yeah, it's brutal. I didn't love them defensively this year because on the corners they were atrocious. Like they were really, really bad in left and right field, like mm-hmm. negatives all across the board. But that shouldn't be enough to drag your defense down that much. But when they're not, or when they're also not hitting, then it's like, okay, well, yeah, that really sucks. And I think that's probably the bigger issue, because if the corner guys are bad defensively, you know, it's not good, but it's also understandable, and you can make up for it if they're hitting even at least like league average, but they're not doing that.
That's so the Phillies won games. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Like you can have, you can have Kyle Schwarber and left, although they DH'd him most of this year, but like you can have a bad defensive corner outfield play if they're bopping, but these guys were not even, yeah, they weren't even bop. Like they were bad. It was atrocious to watch in all assets or in all facets for those corner defensive outfielders.
Yeah. I think we're going to talk about what this is all going to mean for the future in a second. Where do we go from here? Because I think we'll get into it in a minute, but I do want to say that something that is not going to cause you any concern is are the t-shirts and the other apparel that you can get at shop.rblrsports.com. Anything you want to represent your Rowdies, your Bucks, your Lightning, your Rays, your Sun, they're all there at shop.rblrsports.com. You can rep your team in a creative and fun way at shop.rblrsports.com. And you can use the promo code Flappy for 10% off your entire order. No questions asked. Just use the promo code Flappy, FLAPPY. And while you're at rblrsports.com, you should go check out the Rays Roundtable every single week, where we get a bunch of bite-sized articles about the Rays every single week and collab them all together to a really fun and engaging read that talks about all aspects of the Rays on, off the field, major leagues, minor leagues. It's all covered in there. And it keeps you informed on all things Rays. Seriously, it's one of the best articles or collections of articles that are in the world of baseball today. And I'm not even like saying that as a salesman or this is me saying this as the person, Pat Davenport. It's one of my favorite things to read every single week. I genuinely love it. Okay. So let's talk about where do we go from here? Cause I feel like even last year where we failed to make the playoffs for the first time in like a 5-year span, we had lots of reasons for optimism for 2025 in 2024. We were like, hey, 2024 wasn't great, but like, think of the rotation next year. Think of a full year of junior. Think of, you know, all these reasons for optimism. Now I don't feel that same way going into 2026.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You know, it's tough to see a team miss the playoffs two consecutive years and not be like, yeah, this team's probably going to miss it the third consecutive year. And right now, if like just asking me straight up, just without the offseason or anything, if they just sort of run it back next season, like, you know, gun to my head, yeah, they'll probably miss the playoffs again this year. I would bet more on that than them making the playoffs. It's certainly within the realm of possibility that they could be very good next year and make the postseason and do all of the usual Rays stuff. But if I had to choose, I'd probably say that they're going to miss the playoffs if they just run it back again next year, which again, I hope they don't, and it would be very un-Rays like for them to just completely run it back. But yeah, they had just so many problems with this team this year, and a lot of them don't seem to be I don't want to say they're not solvable. It's just there's not an immediate solution that seems on the way. Like Carson Williams, great defensively. I don't know what to make of him as a, as an offensive player in the major leagues yet. He still has time. Like, there's still, he's still super young. He has a whole offseason to get some work in and continue to try to work on his hit tool, which I don't know how much more work can be done, frankly. But yeah, there's still a little bit of hope with Carson, and there's a lot of hope with, I think, with Aranda coming back. I think he can be just as good as he was this year, if not better, given a full offseason than a full regular season. He just, all he does is hit. He's just fantastic to watch out there. But like Brandon Lau, I don't know what they do with him. You know, like, he was a pretty solid hitter, but my goodness, like, he had one of the worst defensive seasons ever in the StatCast era in terms of second baseman, like negative, like, what, 17 or 18. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. Like, it's really unfortunate that he's kind of fallen so hard. He was never good, but like, he was at least, like, you kind of threw him out there at second. We're like, well, he's not going to cost us too much. I don't know if that's true anymore. He might have to be like a first baseman or a DH type, and the Rays don't have room for that. So they might even have to take a step back offensively in terms of overall production. So I don't know. I'm kind of with you, but I'm also like, well, it's also the Rays. Like, they have a proven track record of being able to turn things around. So I'm hopeful, but I totally understand people that are like, man, I don't see this team turning it around at all either. But hopefully the new ownership infuses some cash. Maybe they make a few like fun signings, so at least there's something to talk about in the offseason a little bit. But I don't know. They, I also felt that way with Ha-Seong Kim and Danny Jansen last year, and look how they turned out. So I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I do want to talk about that because it got made official over the past few days, right? Like it's been officially happening that the Rays are going to be, in fact, as of today, Stu Sternberg has overseen his last day as a Rays owner. He's overseen his last game as a Rays owner. Do you have any parting words for Stu Sternberg?
Nothing that I am willing to say. everyone's like kind of tripping over themselves to try to like show their love and give him his flowers and all that stuff. And like, there are certain aspects of his regime that were great. Like, the team was successful. They won a lot of games, and that's, you know, no doubt about it. They still, like, I know playoff randomness, you can't really, like, I'm not putting this on him. But they didn't win a World Series, and the stadium, like, the stadium situation was still unsettled, you know, like, it's still unsettled to this day. And it's on him. Like, he can, like, they can try to pass the buck as much as they want with like the hurricane and the uncertainty surrounding like the Pinellas County Board of Commissioners and all that stuff. But ultimately, like, the ball was in their court and they dropped it. Like, they decided to opt out of getting $700 million in public funding to build a privately owned baseball stadium. I hate to compare it to baseball, but it's kind of like the process was there. Like, they set themselves up for success, but then they had a crappy season. Like, okay, great. It's still a crappy season. They still don't have a stadium, you know, like, they still don't have a stadium deal. So I think that's the biggest stain on his tenure, is that like, he had a perfect opportunity to settle this and become like truly one of the best owners in sports, or in baseball specifically. Like, they get that stadium deal done, like, at least like, he's on track to doing that. And I would have been able to swallow a good bit more of the raziness of trading away players before their peak value and all that stuff that just comes with being a Rays fan over the past few years, or over the really their whole tenure. I don't know. It's frustrating because people are just kind of setting aside the Montreal stuff and all the nonsense. And he's been congratulating himself, patting himself on the back really a lot over the past few weeks. And that's been nauseating. Like, if he would have, like, he just doesn't seem to have any self-awareness. Like, his PR team needs to just like tell him, like, I mean, not at this point, cause he's not an MLB owner anymore, but like, good gracious, like the New York Times article where like Matt Silverman was quoted as saying, I still think that the Montreal plan would be a great idea. And it's like, y'all have learned nothing. Like, y'all just don't. I'm so glad they're gone. Like, I'm sorry, but they lost touch with humanity, with fandom, like with being an actual person, like not just seeing everything as a spreadsheet. And like, I get that sounds very old head and anti analytics of me, which I am not at all. But oh gosh, there's just certain things that like, can't just milk every dollar you possibly can out of everything. So, anyways, I'm sorry. That was a long rant. I'm talking way too much. It's the end of the season. People are already down, and I'm here, you know, bringing everyone even further down. But glad it's over. Glad he's gone.
Yeah. I want to – so how long was Stu Sternberg owner? I would say, what was it, like 18 years, something like that.
Yeah, 17 or 18, yeah.
17, 18 years. I can count on one hand the good decisions that he made. And I will list them for you now. Hiring Andrew Friedman.
Absolutely, yeah.
Hiring Joe Maddon.
100%.
Promoting Eric Neander.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hiring Kevin Cash. Or having a hand in that. And not getting too involved with the baseball ops.
Yeah. And those are all wonderful, wonderful decisions. And I don't want to take away credit from him for that. But I think people kind of bail out the fact that, like, the people that he hired did all the work. Like, he wasn't in the backfields evaluating this talent. He didn't go out there and scout Junior Caminero. He didn't go to Mexico and scout Randy Arozarena and Jonathan Aranda. Like, these were other people's job. These were other people's doing. And I get that they couldn't have done it necessarily if, like, say they had a slightly different owner, but I'm not going to give him credit for, like, you know, not being an idiot. You know, like, there are plenty of baseball owners that are just morons, but, like, that's their problem. Like, there's a standard that I'm like, they're rich as heck. Yeah. Like, you know, like, I'm
the
sorry.
The bar is in hell. Yeah.
Exactly. The bar is on the floor.
I want to make clear that was not necessarily, I really don't want to engage, like you said, in this kind of Stu Sternberg revisionism
that's
happening at the moment. Yeah. Like the Montreal thing, like, mm-hmm. I want to make something clear. Those front offices succeeded despite of his limitations imposed on them. I also want to say that every devoted Rays fan that shows up to the stadium to watch baseball games are going in spite of all his efforts to drive them away.
Yeah.
Like, any success this team is having is in spite of his efforts to impose limits on the team. Right. He's made so many decisions that should lead to drops in attendance. He has made so many decisions that should lead to a drop in production. And because of miracles performed within the front office and because of the excellent diehard Rays fans that do turn up, we still have a Major League Baseball team that's been so good and so competitive. But I don't want to ever say that anything apart from the genesis of it is down to Stu Sternberg.
Right.
Because it's not. And like you said, because the bar is in hell for MLB owners, he suddenly gets lauded as, like, wow, he didn't get involved in something he had no idea about.
Right. Yeah. I'd like to think if I had that much money and I owned a professional sports team, I would be smart enough to, like, not be Jerry Jones, you know, to not be Artie Moreno, like, to not be the Monforts in Colorado. Like, it's just, I don't know. I'm wary of giving a guy who owns any sports team or a person who owns any sports team too much leeway, because, like, we're all giving our money, time and attention to these people because they just own a sports team and, like, they're profiting off of our attention and our, you know, so I'm not going to mince words. I'm not going to sit here and, like, you know, grovel or put on my cape to defend him. Like, I'm not going to, like, I don't know.
Fine.
Yeah.
He'll be fine without our praise.
For sure. Exactly. Like, he's making $1.7 billion off of this deal. Or excuse me, he's profiting, I don't remember, $1.2 billion, whatever the case may be. Like, he's profiting over $1 billion off of this deal. He's going to be fine regardless of whether you tweet out his support for him or not. Like, he'll be just fine. Like, he's not reading the private DMs or the Discord chats or the group chats. Like, I promise Stu Sternberg is not going to include you in his inheritance just because you stood up for him.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like, I don't know, but that again, that's harsh. That's me being kind of a curmudgeon and being kind of a jerk, but I don't know. I'm just, I'm kind of, like you said, the revisionism has been exhausting. And I get that positivity is harder to do than negativity. Like, it's very easy for me to sit here and crap on them because it's easy to backseat owner, I guess, if you want to call it that. But I don't know. It's frustrating for sure.
100%. My last kind of word on Stu Sternberg is we also need to remind ourselves that he kind of had to sell because but basically there was no long-term future at the Trop, right? Like, he could keep the team at the Trop forever in theory, but it would have to involve him continuing to extend a lease on the place, right? Because the lease is up soon. And we all know that that's also not a viable long-term strategy. As much as we love the trop, whether it's ironically or not, we love the trop. And it's, and you know, but it's not a long-term solution. And we kind of love the trop in knowing that there was going to hopefully come an end time to the trop, right? Yes. Like we were like, we love it as long as we don't have to stay in it past 2027. We got to remind ourselves that he burned every possible bridge out of staying in the trop that he could have possibly taken. He burned his bridge with Tampa proper, Tampa Bay City. He burned his bridge with St. Petersburg. He burned his bridge with fans, with the Montreal thing. Like every possible route he had other than completely leaving the state of Florida, there was no option left for him because he played too hard. And those are business failures.
For sure. Yeah. And he, there was this another Tampa Bay Times article, like sort of lauding Stu, which it's just exhausting. Like the lack of, anyways, I'm going to get into another little rant there, but it was another article where they like just gave him the platform and it was just like, man, that's not necessary at this point, but whatever. And it was just him like gloating about how like, well, I was really committed to staying in Tampa and not a lot of owners can say that. I never threatened to leave the state of Florida. And it was just like, and he pitched it as if like, he pitched it as if he's a savior for selling the team, as if he like decided, yeah, you know, it's time. And it's just, I don't know. And every statement that's come out of the Rays camp for the past like year and a half or so have been just filled with like these half truths, you know, like they're not outright lies or whatever. Like it's not like they're just blatantly like misinforming people, but at the same time, like they're very much they're very much PR laced, and it's just like stepping around the truth. Like if the truth is a circle, they're like sort of jumping in and out. Like they're not really. Anyways,
Let's end on something positive. Yes. And that thing for me is, what is your hopes and dreams for the new ownership group? What would be your pleas to them? What would be your, if they could grant you one wish, if they were like, we'll do one thing that you ask, what would it be?
And this is ending on a positive note. I'm going to say some nice things about Stu Sternberg. So keeping the system that he had, the mojo, the philosophy, whatever you want to call it, keeping that intact, because it's not about the vibes. It's not about the people in charge that were making the decisions in terms of like baseball operations. It was not about any of that. Like none of the failures of the Rays as a company, if you want to call it that, had anything to do with their on-field product or anything like that. So just keeping that just the exact same, laying hands off and just completely just like shifting your focus to the actual business side of things, the Rays as a corporation, the Rays as a company, you know, the LLC aspect of it. So I'm hopeful that that's what they end up doing. Even if they don't even necessarily like have to go crazy and increase their budget to like $120 million, which, oh my goodness, a baseball team spending $120 million sounds crazy to me. I know that's absolutely ridiculous. But even if they just like left everything the same and they got a stadium deal, like my hope and my like the ideal world is that they're paying for it themselves, because it's possible. Like we've seen it in other parts of the country, like Chicago. I don't remember if it was Chicago or any other team. A soccer team, I think it was an MLS team. They just privately financed a stadium. The Denver Broncos are doing the same thing. And then Denver, obviously very different situations. The Broncos are owned by Walmart, like the people that run that. So they're a good bit more wealthy, but that would be like the dream, like ideal. Like, you know, I don't see, you know, I don't have to vote out all of the public officials that approved $800 million to go to a private company to pay for a baseball stadium. But that would be my hopes and dreams, that they leave the baseball stuff alone and that they privately finance a stadium. I know that second one's never going to happen because that's just not the way the world works, but it would be cool. It would be sweet.
Yeah, I second that. Please don't become a fan, because like the fans are important, but don't let the fans dictate your baseball ops decisions.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Please don't trade for Luis Robert this offseason. Right. I'm finally getting off that train. But... And maybe I don't know, maybe sign Kyle Tucker, but like maybe don't if everyone's calling for it. So like, but I would like, I would love to see an increase in payroll, and I would, I would love to see the decision makers stay. And if I got to pick one wish, it's extend Juju Caminero.
Yeah, I don't know how I would love that too, but at this point, I think like it's one of those things where he's going to be asking for a lot of money, and rightfully so. I think they probably missed the boat a little bit in terms of getting an extension that's actually like worth it. Because at this point, I think he looks around at like what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. got, and that's probably unrealistic. Like that's probably not what he'd actually get on the open market right now. But excuse me, it's definitely something to consider in terms of, I'm sure, what he's asking for and what the Rays asking for. I think the gap is just too wide at this point, unfortunately, which is fine. You know, if the new ownership is serious about, you know, trying to maybe bring a little bit more fan aspect of it, like maybe they'll extend him anyways. Maybe they'll just say, hey, we waited too long and it's just going to be way too expensive, but he's our star player. Like he's the face of the franchise, so to speak. So let's extend him. So that would be awesome though. Yeah. It'd be great to see Junior get an extension for sure.
Yeah. I guess we need to wait for the Wander money to officially come off the books.
Right.
That could help finance it. But the, yeah, that's my main thing. I mean, I just want to round out by saying thank you to every single person that's tuned in to any episode of the RBLR Rays show throughout this season. Your support has been greatly, greatly appreciated. And it's the reason we keep coming back. You know, there's been plenty of times where I'm like, do I really want to talk about the Rays this week? Right. We're coming off a 6-1-6 week. And, you know, we've just heard that, you know, I don't know, Johnny DeLuca spending another month on the IL, and Ha-Seong Kim's not coming back, and we're 10 games out of the division. But I came back because I knew you got, you know, love the support you guys give, and I love the Rays community. So I just wanted to say thank you from everyone at RBLR, for anyone that's tuned into even one episode, even if it's this one and this is your first one. I just want to say thank you. And if you want to give thank you back to us, a great way to do so is drop a like on this video right here, drop a subscribe on the channel, and be sure to tune in to any live shows that we are doing over the off season, because we will be here every week over the off season as well, and the postseason, recapping the season that was, doing player reviews, looking, recapping off season news, discussing roster crunch, because we've got a lot of roster crunch to get through this off season. And dissecting all the decisions that go down. So be sure to keep tuning in every single week to the RBLR Rays show as we go on. And yeah, as always, Rays up.
Rays up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.